So many of us, you know, my generation and my parents were just told, go to college, go to college, go to college. But we want to make sure people understand that those career paths exist and that there's different options that are going to suit different people.
Hello, innovators. I'm Todd Wyant, and welcome to the Bridging the Gap podcast presented by Applied Software Gray Tech Group. You're invited to join our conversation to model the future of construction innovation and the digital transformation adventure of this great industry. We recorded this conversation with Colleen Martindale, VP of Pre-Construction at McCarthy Building Companies at the Advancing Pre-Construction Show in Denver. Hope you enjoy the conversation. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time. So I always like to start with kind of your background story. How'd you get into this industry?
I might have the weirdest answer you're going to get today.
Okay.
I was a music major in college. I studied jazz guitar performance in El Paso. And at some point after finishing that, I got a little tired of starving. And so I went back, got a degree in engineering. I figured I'd go into the design space, kind of tripped and fell my way into a career fair and found McCarthy. I ended up interning with them just to kind of check it out. They sent me to San Antonio, built my first bridge there. And the rest is history. I just kind of tripped and fell my whole way into the industry.
Yeah, that is unusual. So we are 260 something episodes in, and I don't think I've heard that background story yet. So I like it.
Yeah, my first boss at McCarthy told me I had the weirdest resume he'd ever seen between the music degree, and I'm kind of a polyglot. So he's like, I just want to interview you because I'm curious. And then I guess I didn't turn out to be too much of a screw up, so here I am.
Nice. Well, what attracted you to engineering then?
You know, it wasn't a real well thought out plan. I didn't have the money to leave my hometown, and I went back and looked to see what the best programs at the university there were. I always looked at music from a theoretical, analytical point of view. I kind of liked the math of music, and I thought, well, hey, if I can do that, I can do engineering. And they about laughed me out of the application office, like, have you lost your mind? I'm like, no, really, I promise.
Math is math, right?
Math is math. It's the same side of my brain. And so that's kind of how that happened. I picked civil just because I had a loose interest in maybe city planning. Mm-hmm. So I did end up, you know, kind of in a civil infrastructure career, but left the city planning in my imagination.
Yeah, nice. So how do we bring in people from like kind of different, diverse backgrounds like you? How do we make construction a place where it's not just a happenstance that maybe they fall into, but they're like, no, let's go into this. This is a really great industry.
Yeah, I spent a lot of my time thinking about that because somehow I kind of wish I had found my way here a little bit quicker or maybe with a little bit more intention. One of the things I think is so important for us to do is to make sure that we are teaching kids and their parents that, you know, construction is a viable career path, and whether that's the college-educated route, go into the project management side or design, or into the trades, because those are such high-paying careers, and you don't end up going into a whole lot of debt to get there if you wanted to start that way. So we do a lot of outreach, whether that's to elementary, middle school, high school kids, and again, their parents, because so many of us, you know, my generation and my parents were just told, go to college, go to college, go to college. But we want to make sure people understand that those career paths exist and that there's different options that are going to suit different people. Something else that we spend a lot of time doing is looking at how we're recruiting underrepresented folks in our industry. So, you know, whether that's women or ethnic minorities, we look at the colleges that we're recruiting at, we look at the trade schools we're going to, and we're making sure that we send a diverse team to those recruiting events, so that way you can see yourself reflected in that company and see it as a place that maybe you could succeed in. Because that was something, you know, when I looked up the org chart as a much younger engineer that I didn't see. And so to get where I ended up was something I never really dreamed of. And I think people should have that opportunity to see themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. One of the things that I'm curious your thoughts on this that I think is facing the industry is there's a huge marketing problem in construction to attract people outside of construction.
Yeah.
That it's like this great kind of, you know, well-kept secret that there's technology, there's innovation, there's a ton of career paths, and there's, you know, a lot of money to be had.
Absolutely.
Here in construction, and yet we keep it to ourselves and then talk about why nobody else is taking an interest in construction, but we're not telling the story. We're leaving it to people outside the industry to talk about, you know, the backwards people in construction.
Yeah.
What do you think on that, of how do we get the message out that this is a cool industry to be in?
I mean, those of us that are succeeding here should be loud about it. I kind of am. I've got a little bit of a big mouth about how much fun this has been, you know, because it's a challenging field. I'm something different every day. I am never bored. In the role that I'm in now, I get the opportunity to do a lot of these kind of speaking events or going out recruiting, you know, sharing my experiences with younger folks. You know, and there's nothing wrong with swinging a hammer, but we're so much more than that. You know, there's, like you said, there's so many roles in technology. There's all the support. You know, we've obviously got human resources folks in legal and design, as we're doing a lot more integrated design. So sometimes that's, you know, brought on onto the contractor side, or whether that's working, you know, alongside on a different contract. You know, you can be on the owner's side as an owner's rep or a program manager. But all of it is, you know, allowing you to solve problems creatively, you know, work as part of a team. You're surrounded by really smart, creative people. And if you like that kind of thing, this is a great place to be.
Mm-hmm. I love that you brought up the creative people. This is one of my favorite kind of misconceptions that I like to knock down,
yeah,
that people have about construction, is that there's so many great creative problem solvers here, because that's essentially what construction is. Every,
yeah,
single day you're faced with a crazy new obstacle that you didn't really account for, even though hopefully pre-construction went really smooth here,
yeah,
at pre-cut. You know, everything was flawless there, I'm sure. But there's always a hurdle, an unexpected hurdle that's going to come up, and people have to figure out how to get around that and move it.
Totally. Yeah. In the markets that I typically live in, you know, we're traditionally, you know, publicly funded, design, bid, build, where you get a complete set of plans, they hand them over to the contractor, and then we fight all the way through it at the end. Not the most fun experience sometimes. I don't need any more gray hairs on my head, and I'm sure, you know, my counterparts don't either. So one of the things I'm talking about in my workshop today, and, you know, that's something that's really important to me, is we're starting to see more pre-con integration and collaborative delivery in that space. So we've got a really cool opportunity with these new clients, whether, you know, public owners, municipalities, and whatnot, to show them a different experience and to bring the value of that expert opinion, the constructors that know how to build the stuff, bringing them early during your pre-con phase to look at the design, to explore alternative concepts. You get a better set of plans, and you're able to impact that when the cost is low and the risk is low, rather than waiting till the time you get out to the field when everything costs more and causes delays. It's not to say that that's not going to happen, but, you know, even when it does, you've got that team on board that's looking at it from, you know, a problem-solving mindset rather than, you know, pointing fingers and stopping work. So, you know, we've had projects, you know, for example, we had a road job that when you looked at it on paper looked really simple, but, you know, we had complicated phasing due to water line tie-ins, and then the council member in that area said you can't shut down any intersections, so it ended up being like 8 phases, and that happened in the middle of Texas's snowpocalypse a few years ago.
It was good timing.
Yeah, really spectacular. COVID and then the snowpocalypse. And so what that team was able to do, I mean, the freeze caused a lot of water damage, drainage damage around the city, and so all the off-the-shelf pipe materials were no longer available, and so we had all these, all of a sudden, much longer than anticipated lead times. But that team, because we were in a collaborative setup, was able to kind of resequence the job and figure out, okay, we can get this material in time, let's go do that section, rather than just hands up and stopping. And that was, you know, something that was a real value to the city. They weren't used to seeing that. Normally they just, oh, sorry, we're going to walk off the job and go do something else until you can pay us. And that wasn't the case for here at all. We were able to finish on time, and you know, that was a relationship that led to a lot of repeat business with that client for us.
Yeah, nice. So what do you think are some of the biggest kind of obstacles standing in the way of making, you know, the move to have those conversations and that collaboration towards the front end? What are the obstacles standing in the way for making that more of a mainstay?
Sometimes it's a cost issue, or it appears to be a cost issue. You know, when you see that there's an upfront cost for pre-construction that you're not used to paying for, that can be a hurdle for some clients. And what we're trying to show them is like, hey, this really does bring value. And that's not always, you know, as a parent, you're going to pay that cost one way or another. Those issues are going to arise. And if they happen once you've already broken ground or when the plans are complete, that's causing rework for the design team. It's causing rework for the construction team. It's causing change orders. It's causing delays. You may not open in time.
It's more expensive to do it.
Absolutely. You know, when you have that control earlier, you're able to mitigate that stuff. You know, your contractor on board is going to find risk, you know, and find ways to mitigate that, again, with the creative problem solving. You know, so that's one thing. We've also seen, you know, just some of the more bureaucratic organizations, particularly on the public side. You know, if you don't have all the right people in the room, whether that's the decision makers or just, you know, various stakeholders, and you don't have total team buy-in, sometimes that can make that a bumpy road to be able to get to, you know, a really good collaborative process. Mm-hmm. And then the upfront time, if they're not willing to take the pedal off the gas for a minute and slow down and look at the design and bring in the experts to weigh in, you know, just go, sometimes that's not the right choice, you know, delivery method for that client.
Mm-hmm. How do you go about ensuring the accuracy in the cost estimation?
That's where it matters to have, you know, the right team and the right tools. So, you know, whether that's people that are familiar with your delivery method or the product type, you know, if it's a bridge, we've got bridge builders. If it's a building, you know, you've got the right people with that experience. We also like to really bring in the construction phase folks. So it's not just estimators working in a silo, you know, counting beans and here, you know, here's the quantities and here's the number. You've got the people who are actually going to build it out on site, weighing in on that kind of stuff. So you've got this whole team, a lot of eyes on that project, looking for, you know, any kind of gaps, things that, you know, maybe aren't on the drawings, but you would want to anticipate. And then making sure you're using the right tools, you know, whether that's modeling the job, you've got, you know, digital files from your client, or, you know, you're generating that yourself, you know, good takeoff tools, and then layers of trust but verify, you know, so your estimators are going to go in and do the lion's share of the work there, but, you know, who's looking at it to check, make sure that they're not missing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of combination, make sure that you're getting everything you need into that project, your cost certainty is there, and you end up with a lot less, you know, especially if you're going through a longer design period, you're going to have a lot less spikes that way. You get more quality estimates from the get-go rather than having all of these big spikes and valleys as you get closer to that target design.
Bridging the Gap is powered by Graytech Group. As a global BIM and modeling expert, Graytech is dedicated to empowering construction and manufacturing professionals to digitize and industrialize their processes to improve performance and build a sustainable tomorrow. With more than 30 years in the industry, they know how to be your partner in a world where change is the new normal, and always strive to enable their customers to gain an increased competitive advantage to model the future. Visit graytech-group.com for more information. Mm-hmm. How do you go about the making sure it's a smooth collaboration and communication with so many different stakeholders and kind of cooks in the kitchen? How do you bring people together to give the information that's needed when it's needed and in a smooth way?
It's really, really important to set up your team at the beginning. You know, good team building is a strategy. And so, you know, we like to start off with kind of a series of workshops, you know, partnering and conditions of satisfaction. So you get everybody in the room. That's the owner, the contractor, you know, whether the operations side and the pre-construction side, design team members, and any other kind of adjacent stakeholders, you know, if there's inspectors or maybe a community group, what depends on what the project is, right? Mm-hmm. Get them in the room and let's understand what's important to everybody and how those things coexist. And then once you've got that, also setting up, you know, a system for accountability for that team. So we figure out what everybody needs, when they need them, what are the review timelines, what are the approval timelines, who's having a baby and need, you know, we're going to avoid, you know, their paternity leave or their maternity leave. We build that all into a schedule. And then the only time we change those things is by mutual agreement. So we've got the whole team kind of helping hold each other accountable. Mm. And then checking in on that regularly. So, you know, checking your communication, is it working? If it's not, you know, making sure that we're making adjustments, making sure people are getting feedback. You know, how is your team interacting with each other? Are they having healthy conflict that doesn't require major intervention? Are they able to, you know, solve some problems? You know, are they figuring things out together? You know, are we getting good results on schedule, on budget, on safety, all of those things? But I think the root of all of them is making sure that team is set up for success from the beginning, and that everybody's really got that one project mindset, mm-hmm. regardless of where their contractual obligations lie.
Yeah. How do you guys handle the accountability aspect of it? You mentioned that you are kind of going back to it and bringing the communication plan back up, but what does that look like in practice?
I think one of the ways that makes it easier, you know, after we go through and do those partnering, we make sure, you know, maybe we go out for a happy hour or dinner together and kind of break bread together, and you start building some of those interpersonal relationships so that you feel that, you know, again, regardless of your contract status, this is a person, you know, that's part of your team, that's important to you, you care about their success and they care about yours. So it's really that early teaming and building interpersonal relationships so that you feel a sense of ownership, you know, and that your success is mutual. I use the word success deliberately. Our outgoing CEO said something fairly recently that just kind of sticks in my head. And it's like, you know, if you look at it like, okay, it's my chance to win this thing, that implies that somebody else lost. Mm. And when, you know, there's a winner and the loser, it's probably kind of a miserable experience for everybody. But if everybody can have some success, that's a better experience. You know, the project's going to do better and everybody's going to be a little more bought in. So I think just creating that environment from the get-go, and when you see it going sideways, you know, or somebody is not buying into that, addressing that quickly mm-hmm. so that you don't lose that synergy that the team has.
Yeah, I like that focus on the person. The person can get so overlooked sometimes in the, you know, the rush of,
the
of
grind,
construction.
Yeah,
that it's important. We are people.
Yeah. That's it. I mean,
we bring our issues in.
I want to have a good time. You know, I mean, I spend more time at the office or, you know, working on these teams than I do at my house, you know, when I'm awake. And so I want to have an experience that I enjoy. I want to enjoy the people I work with. You know, I do care about them. And that's the environment that we should have. I mean, your life is short, right? Like, why spend it, you know, being combative and miserable? I mean, there is a better way to do things.
Yeah. Absolutely. The phrase that I like is take time to get to know the person behind the employee.
Absolutely.
That's for sure going to build trust. It's going to create those relationships. It's going to make it a lot easier to communicate and collaborate. And when an issue does arise, it's much easier to have those hard conversations with somebody that you like than an enemy.
Well, and the other thing is, if you know, if you're a leader in the room, you know, regardless of your title, you know, you're modeling those behaviors. You know, if I screw something up, I'm going to own it, you know, and demonstrate some of that vulnerability to your team. And that's going to help them feel safe to do that as well, rather than cover something up. You know, if good news doesn't, or bad news doesn't get better with age. So, you know, if something's wrong or you found a hole, let's talk about it. And then again, you've got all those big brains in the room. Let's use them to find a solution.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of shifting on to the pre-con side of things.
Sure.
Are there certain, you know, technologies that are coming in that are helping to change the way pre-con is done?
Yeah, I mean, kind of at breakneck speed, there's all kinds of things. And I'm, you know, regularly in a position where I'm kind of team members will come to me with something, hey, I saw this tool, or I met this person, you know, and so we're evaluating stuff pretty regularly. I would say on my side of the market in the heavy civil space, you know, we're looking at a lot of tools that, you know, help model earthwork and grading and underground utilities, you know, and most of the products that we've been using for what feels like an eternity, you know, are always coming out with new features or, you know, a new package. So we're looking at that pretty regularly. One of the areas that I think this early pre-con brings a lot of value on the civil side is figuring out what to do with utilities. You know, so mapping technologies in SUE, you know, getting quality level A, you know, kind of readings, actual physical verification of where utilities are. We've seen some tools on a project kind of in our marine work in the Houston market. They basically run this little ball through a pipe and it's giving you, you know, horizontal and vertical elevations. So yeah, your as-built say one thing, and I guess that never happens that it's in the wrong place, right? So, you know, using stuff like that to verify existing conditions while you're still in the design phase allows you to kind of design around all of that kind of stuff. You're again anticipating issues rather than waiting till you get out there and hit something with an excavator, and then now you've got to stop, figure it out, clean it up. You know, you're interrupting services to somebody's home or business, and you've made a mess, right? So, any of these tools that are helping us with, you know, preventative type exploration is really, you know, something that we're focused on.
Yeah, nice. So let's future cast for a moment. What do you think the main topic of conversation will be at Advancing Pre-Con next year in 2025?
Oh gosh, you know, I think there's going to be huge conversations around AI. We're not using it a whole lot in my group yet, but we're starting to talk about it and understanding how to use it safely, you know, both with respect to, you know, proprietary information and accuracy. I see a lot of emails around that. I'm really interested in it. I'm a little ignorant, if I'm honest, but I feel like that's the topic that everything's moving towards, you know, whether that's proposal writing and how, you know, you can generate content or takeoff tools, you know, that maybe can do it faster and better than a human, you know, and maybe it just needs some level of verification. So I'm curious to see, you know, content around that. And I think it's going to be a hot topic for the near future.
Yeah. I don't think I can go a conversation without AI at least coming up once.
No, I was trying to avoid it, but I really think that was the obvious place.
There you go. So as we start to kind of land the plane here on the conversation, a couple of rapid fire questions for
gotcha.
You. The phrase modeling the future, what is that kind of bring up in your head? What does that mean and look like to you?
I'm going to think about it two ways. When you're looking at like data rich information, whether that's, you know, actual building models or roadway models or whatever, I think having all of that enables better decision making, and it allows clients, you know, even after you've left the site. So, you know, here's your as-built, your record drawings, you know, your maintenance documents, all of that stuff that you can package up and hand over to a client. So you're long gone off the site, but they're using that information that you've generated for them to, you know, manage their facilities or, you know, see how things are operating, you know, at a treatment plant or a renewables, you know, solar field, that kind of stuff. So you're seeing data around that. So I think that's kind of where that goes. So, you know, both us contributing to it and using that in our decision making in pre-con is maybe the direction of I would go with that.
Yeah, I like it. So what does innovation mean to you?
My brain immediately jumps to technology, but I also think it's looking for newer and better ways to do things. You know, we very often get stuck in the, well, that's the way I've always done it, and that's, you know, the tribal knowledge
my
that
favorite
I had.
Expression.
You know, so challenging ourselves and our teams to do things differently, and it doesn't have to be a tech-related solution, but, you know, is there a better way to do this? Is there a better way to communicate, collaborate? You know, are we teaming the right way? Are our contracts set up the right way? How are we partnering with expert, you know, vendors and trade partners to get their input early in the design phase? So I think it's just a matter of challenging the status quo. Again, to jump back, we have all these creative, really smart people, you know, problem solvers. We can do things better, and I think we just need to continuously, you know, check in, you know, that we're not getting stagnant and stuck in a routine.
More than agree with that. Amen. How do people find out more information on what's going on and connect with you?
You can find me on LinkedIn, Colleen Martindale. I think that's linkedin.com/Colleen Martindale. Always happy to talk. I'll find myself doing things like this fairly often. So, you know, I'm always happy to connect with anybody that wants to chat about this stuff.
Awesome. Well, final question for you. If I could give you all construction power and you could snap your fingers and innovate one thing in the industry, what would you pick to innovate?
Boy, that's tough. I think I would find a way, you know, to hire people faster. I mean, the labor shortage, AI and the labor shortage are the two things we can't avoid talking about, right? So, you know, finding a way to get talent up to speed faster. You just can't home grow them fast enough. You know, you're hiring from the outside, and people who are really good are happy. People, you know, they take, you know, their employers take care of them. So finding that experienced talent, like if I could snap my fingers, getting them in the room, finding a way to get them sooner, I think that would solve a lot of our challenges, both in pre-construction and operations, because there's so much work out in front of us. You know, unemployment is low, but we've got 500,000 unfilled construction jobs. You know, how do we get people into those roles? You know, even if they're coming from oddball industries, maybe not the music department at UTEP, but you know, people with different ways of thinking, that diverse perspective is going to make us stronger.
Yeah, I like it. I know, I like it. Good stuff, Colleen. Thanks so much for taking the time, and best of luck in the workshop and the panel coming up.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
And now it's time for my Todd Takes from this episode. First take, diverse perspectives are key to success. Colleen's transition from music to construction exemplifies this principle. Her unique viewpoint not only brings fresh ideas, but also demonstrates how incorporating a variety of perspectives can lend to more innovative and effective solutions in construction. Second take, recognizing that we are all human seems straightforward, yet it's fundamental. Getting to know the person behind the employee builds trust and fosters collaboration. By focusing on mutual success, we create a work environment that encourages better communication and teamwork. And finally, bringing all stakeholders into the project at an early stage to define terms, workflows, and processes is vital to success. This strategy not only streamlines project management, but also increases the overall chances of achieving project goals effectively. Thanks for listening to this episode. If you are interested in learning more, you can visit our sponsor, Applied Software, Gray Tech Group, at ASTI.com for more information. You can listen to this podcast anytime by simply going to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, be sure to check out our website, bridgingthegappod.com. As always, I'm Todd Wyant, thanking you for joining the conversation to model the future on the Bridging the Gap podcast. Keep innovating. Bridging the Gap is hosted, directed, and produced by Todd Wyant. Edited by Caitlin Dunn. Bridging the Gap is an Applied Software Gray Tech Group production. Copyright Applied Software Gray Tech Group 2024.